You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius in Londinium with my good friend and counselor, Germanicus. We're in our wine bar by the Thames, which is too cold to even look at. It's cold here early. We've had snow in Londinium. Very odd this time of year. It's not even winter yet. It's still technically fall, but there it is. We are not entertaining the centurions. They're very unhappy with our first conversation because we didn't come to any resolution. That's the point of courtiers. They never resolve anything. They're always on the right side, the correct side of the argument. Now, the argument used to be, whatever it takes, defend freedom. Now the item is, well, why won't the Europeans step up? That's the argument. So we go to the National Security Strategy, which I read theoretically is a document prepared by the executive branch that lists the national security concerns and how the administration plans to deal with it. Very straightforward. Nothing unusual about that. It has subsets in it. It was set up in the 20th century, and we continue it into the 21st. The document is released, at least the part that they want us to react to. And there is something new and something old. The old part is the part I like. The Trump corollary of the Monroe Doctrine. Don't you love this, Germanicus?
I love the fact that the past is still with us, or as has been said, the past is not even past. The continuity is a welcome reminder that American identity is still whole after the assaults on it by the Church of Woke in the last over the last 10 or 12 years. And the reference to the Roosevelt corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, ironically made around the time of the 1895 Venezuelan crisis, unearths or brings to light the fact that there are different approaches to America's relationship to the world that have held since the founding. And there are three different approaches that the America has taken to the world. And yet the fact that they are different doesn't diminish the fact that they're all of the same nature. In other words, the essence, the font from which they issue forth is unitary. And so in many ways, it is a vision that is quite resonant to the concept of the Trinity in Orthodox Catholicism. And the fact is, the three approaches to the world were created by persons. The first is Washington and his farewell address, and he basically called for America to be a beacon to the world, a source of hope, and a guide to the future. But not to be involved and sullied or corrupted by the world, certainly not to become an empire. And that is a very resonant vision. The second one was created, I would say, by Monroe and John Quincy Adams. And this was a vision that staked out America as a kind of realm of liberty. In other words, it was an empire. I mean, the Monroe Doctrine is an imperial document, but it demarcates America as a protected place of liberty. In other words, it's not only a sanctuary, but a kind of place fortified from the sinful world. And yet, because it is a large realm, as the Western Hemisphere is certainly, then that makes the U.S. An equal contender in the world. In other words, it stakes out America, the Americas, and the U.S. as a great power. And the third a vision is that of Andrew Jackson, and it's a very robust, forceful notion of American empire.
I'm going to go down to South Carolina and hang the first man from the first tree I find. Unless
that's right.
Yes.
And it's unbound. Yeah, Prometheus unbound, ever forceful, ever expanding liberty's standard, which, of course, at the time of Jackson, took the form of manifest destiny and a continental empire. But there was no limit to it. It didn't stop at the shores of the Pacific. In fact, Walt Whitman in 1860 wrote a fantastic poem that talked about America as mistress of the Pacific all the way to China and Japan. And so you could see even early on that this vision will not stop. And so it's interesting, if you want to look at the descent, the lineage of each of these visions, Washington continues through to Ulysses S. Grant, who maintained this restraint and stepping back. And that was a long period after the Civil War, but it wasn't, it was part and parcel of Washington's vision of America and the farewell address. And so you had that continue. Into the 1930s, you had the Neutrality Acts and what was later called isolationism. But it really was, hey, we see the old world falling apart. We don't want to get entangled in that process.
Also, they lied to us in 1916 and 1917. And
yeah. And Americans knew that. There was a great backlash to World War I in America. And it was a populist backlash. And so, in a way, America did have to be manipulated into World War II.
And that's still with us. The Europeans are lying to us.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And so what you see now in popular terms, but also in Washington, is this notion of restraint. And it absolutely disavows the accusation of isolationism. It basically says, hey, Washington was right, and we have to remain uncorrupted as a nation and not be. Now, the second one with Monroe and John Quincy Adams, it was completely renewed by Teddy Roosevelt. You know, the Great White Fleet, the corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, the Panama Canal, all of this was announcing to the world that America had not only arrived as a great power, but we were going to show how superior, not superior, how we were to highlight our exceptionalism as a model for others. Through
the new world, Germanicus, you just have to say new world. We stole it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah. but there are two things there. One is the open door policy,
right,
toward China, trying to stop this, you know, ravaging of China by the European powers. And the second was Roosevelt's intervention to stop the Russo-Japanese War and to find a peaceful settlement for which he got the Nobel Prize. And essentially, that was the counterpoint to the rest of the world, especially the European powers, that went to war in preference to finding peaceful solutions. And he altered this alternative. So in many ways, that is exactly what Trump seeks to be.
Yes,
America first, but also we will bring the blessings of a peaceful vision, an exceptional vision as an alternative to your endless wars, Europe, Middle East, etc.
Somewhere in between, because you have to mention the third version.
Yeah, the third version is Jackson's vision was totally renewed by Woodrow Wilson. And it was not only renewed, but taken to the next level, where America would essentially be the leader of the world.
Germanicus, just a moment here. Break. Time out. Have you ever figured out what open covenants openly arrived at means? Is that even English?
Yes. It means a rules-based order. You know, you take rules-based order and that little mantra of Woodrow's, you know, open covenants openly arrived at, that's the same as saying transparency. You know, I when I first heard the term transparency, I thought, what the hell is that? It's just drivel. And when they started talking at the beginning of the Ukraine war and for several years after that about a rules-based order, what does that mean? Whose rules? Well, we know whose rules. And so the whole neocon thing is rooted or has grown out of.
Don't skip LBJ.
Wilson to Roosevelt to LBJ to Biden is a match. It's like nesting dolls, you know. Biden wanted to be like FDR and LBJ, and LBJ was driven to be like FDR, and so that meant a major war for the renewal. The uplifting of humanity, you know, the restorer of the world. And it's such a contrast to see this completely uncontrolled vision with absolutely, you know, no limits, contrasted to the vision of his successor, which is very much like Teddy Roosevelt's vision. Actually, it's Trump's vision, with its emphasis on economic arrangements, fits very well into Republican administrations in the 1920s. You know, and you have the Herbert Hoover and Coolidge, and then of course under Harding, you had the kind of perfect counterpoint to Wilson, where you had all these arms control agreements. In other words, creating an actual working structure for peace by reducing armaments. I mean, this is all a tradition that goes back, and it is at the same time, I have to emphasize the fact that all three of these approaches to America's relations with the world are based on this religious vision. The notion of America, the virtuous America, as a beacon to the world, or America as the dominus, the master of the world. But they're still essentially moral and theocratic in nature.
All right, let's turn the continents into Christmas cakes, okay? Panettone. I've learned that the Italians love panettone, fruit cake at Christmas time. The U.S., under the Trump corollary of the Monroe Doctrine, claims all of North America as a panettone and all of South America as a panettone. Is that correct? Have I got it so far?
Yes.
All right. China as a panettone is East Asia and bumps up against India and bumps up against Russia. So it's happy to take East Asia, Southeast Asia, not quite Australia, maybe, and Japan. And then Russia is happy to take what's left of the world island. Well, there's a lot left. And nobody wants Africa. Have I got it right? The African cake goes wanting.
Yes, you do. With one important caveat, I guess, in that the U.S. can have its little cake at a much bigger space, because the U.S. can include the Pacific all the way to Japan and Australia and Korea, I suppose.
But we don't have to. It doesn't. It's not necessary. Remember how we took Hawaii? We just sort of took it a weekend.
Yeah, right. But it's expansive, whereas China is the most constrained of the three, because you mentioned Russia as well. But China has little elbow room because it abuts against the Philippines. And of course, the Taiwan thing has to be resolved. But even if Taiwan was fully reintegrated, it would be difficult for China to throw its weight around and in Southeast Asia, for example, let alone Korea and Japan, who will never bend the knee to China. And then of course, there is India. But so that there's less scope. And the Russia's thing, I guess, is to be to widen its orbit into Europe again and to have a normal relationship there. They're not an imperial expansion kind of nation now. They want respect, and that's the limit of their ambitions at this point.
Putin to Delhi, Putin to Paris, Putin to London. That's all possible.
Yeah, and certainly, but Russia's been really successful with India and also with Iran.
Okay, now we're talking about a stable environment for the U.S. to prosper, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that? I can't find anything wrong with it. Who's faulting it?
No one's faulting it. The people who fault it have to, when pressed, will have to fall back on why they fault it. And the answer lies in the fact that it doesn't involve sort of Manichaean struggles of good versus evil, light against the darkness. And sadly, you know, if you look at the Biden, LBJ, Woodrow Wilson, FDR, they're universalist visions that involve big wars. And the counterpoint to that, which you see in Teddy Roosevelt, of course, and going back to the early days of the Republic, is, America first, meaning America's primary interests are with our own nation and our own realm. And also, you know, we want to live in peace because that's how we're going to make money. And it is a contrast.
Right now, Reuters. The Kremlin on Sunday said, welcomed U.S. President Donald Trump's new national security strategy and said it largely accorded with Russia's own perceptions. The first time that Moscow has so praised such a document from its former Cold War foe. The U.S. national security strategy described Trump's vision as one of flexible realism. That's a good one. That's new. And argued that the U.S. should revive the 19th century Monroe Doctrine, which declared the Western Hemisphere to be a Washington zone of influence. Okay. October 1942. FDR making a fireside chat. That 42 year was a rough one. You know, we had a lot of surprises. And things were going well at the end of 42, but there was a second front ahead, and that wasn't quite clear what they were going to do in 43. However, the president took time to praise our ally, Joe Stalin. We're coming back to that, Germanicus, to praise our ally, Vladimir Putin.
Well, Abraham Lincoln praised the Tsar for freeing the serfs.
Right.
So, and then the U.S. praised Russia for, in effect, saving the Union from a war with Britain and France. So
the courtiers see this is where we're headed, and they're scrambling to get there first. Is that what's going on with some of them?
If it's successful, and I think it is going to be successful, because essentially the Teddy Roosevelt Trumpian vision is more aligned with the desires of the American people. And the American people above all, and that's part of the reason that Mr. Trump was elected twice, is that they don't want any more wars. They've had 25 years of war and they don't want it anymore.
And they want to make money.
And of course, it remains the great burden of the universalist Marshall vision that you have to somehow explain why war is the best way.
And the Jackson, Wilson, LBJ, Biden school, they're not going to disappear. Where are they hiding?
Well, they're hiding in plain sight. Look at the Secretary of State, for example. I mean, it's difficult to thread the needle, and that's what the emperor is attempting to do.
And he will be condemned for it the way you can in between. So, but as a sphere of influence, that would mean that is necessary. The first thing must happen is Caracas, and then Havana. Is Havana on the shopping list?
Well, I hope not. El Presidente Sheinbaum,
yeah,
she didn't denounce the emperor, but she said that it's not going to happen, meaning American military strikes going after drug dealers in Mexico itself is not going to happen, that she's not going to be coerced. And I think that's a good signal to send, is that if we do want to have a fruitful relationship with Latin America, then we'd better not start throwing our weight around too much.
Our Roman lesson when we return: how do you deal with an enemy you've defeated? What is the course that Rome recommends? When we come back, Germanicus, Gaius, Londinium, 91 AD, wintertime, and our centurions are smiling. They know what's coming. Friends of History Debating Society, we'll be right back.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.